And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is the text for today. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, back on March 25th, 1983, kids from all around the country and their parents and their neighbors and their grandparents gathered on roads. They crowded roads that were across from movie theaters and adjacent to movie theaters in huge lines to see the blockbuster hit, the third of the and final movie of the series, Star Wars. And we all knew that Luke Skywalker was the Jedi who would return to fight Darth Vader and win and overcome the darkness and restore balance within the Force in the universe. And Luke Skywalker certainly did have the big lightsaber duel with Darth Vader, and he certainly did win that duel at the end of the movie. But the twist, the great surprise happens when he refuses to destroy Darth Vader, who actually is also his dad, Anakin Skywalker. He refuses to destroy him, and Darth Vader's master, the Emperor, the evil Emperor, begins to destroy Luke Skywalker with his electric hands, shocking him to death. And you think it's going to end in this tragic event when suddenly Darth Vader, the greatest villain in the, at least the 1980s, moves towards the Emperor and takes the Emperor and throws him into the abyss or wherever he throws him to and sacrifices him life, being electrocuted to death on behalf of his son, Luke Skywalker. And it's not just the fact that Darth Vader does this, but you realize that the whole story of Star Wars is not about Luke Skywalker. The Return of the Jedi is not about Luke returning to be the Jedi, but it's about Darth Vader, the villain. The Return of the Jedi is all about Anakin Skywalker returning to be the Jedi he once was and restoring balance to the Force and overcoming darkness. Today, on the road to Emmaus, we have a similar surprise, but it's a real historical surprise. Cleopas and his buddy, two of the disciples, not the 12, but two of the larger group of disciples, were on the road to Emmaus on Sunday morning. It was 3 days or Sunday since Friday, since Jesus had been crucified and buried. They saw it with their own eyes. They heard about it. And they were on the way to Emmaus, a small town, a small village, about a 7-mile walk, and they were sad. They were depressed. When Jesus comes up to them, disguising himself, and says, "Why are you so sad?" And they're like, "Where have you been? Didn't you see all the crowds gathering in Jerusalem on the roads, gathering to see this Jesus come back and restore Jerusalem and the kingdom of God? But darkness overcame him. The chief priests, they had him executed. He's dead. He raised the dead, and now he's dead." And Jesus, before he reveals that he's Jesus and risen from the dead, Jesus then taught them the scriptures. From Moses and all the prophets, from Adam and Eve to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses and Joshua, Samson to Samuel, David, all the prophets, priests, and kings, everything that happened, everything that was written, Jesus teaches was all about him. It was all written to point people and prepare people for his life, death, and about to be revealed resurrection. It's an amazing little piece of scripture. It opens scripture to them. Their hearts were burning, and yet they had not yet known that this was Jesus. This is perhaps the most important one line in the entire Bible of how to interpret scripture. Because Jesus himself teaches that the whole Old Testament, everything that is written, everything that's happened, is all about him. It's one grand story of one true God who from the beginning, when Adam and Eve and humanity destroys God's perfect creation, his eternal creation, God doesn't just destroy it, but He plans to love it and redeem it. The plan all along was to forgive, not overlook, but to forgive and atone and pay for human sin. And to do so with the blood of the Son of God. So that this one true God could raise flesh and bone and blood to a perfect and eternal life. The way he intended to create all of creation. Perfect and eternal. And so Jesus teaches us today that everything written and everything that had happened on those pages written by Moses and the prophets, it was all a plan. It was all one story. It was all pointing and preparing us for Jesus. And when you stop and think about it, this is so important. It's so important because it shows us that the reason we gather here today, we don't gather because of some man-made fairy tale or legend. Our faith is not like all religions. It's not just some man-made set of rules. Rather, it's true history founded in the true promises fulfilled in a true God by a true God who came in the flesh, who was truly in history crucified for our sins and truly risen from the dead, and nobody has ever or will find his body until he comes back onto this earth. And because God showed all humanity this kind of love, no God in history, in any pages, showed a love like this. No ruler, no politician, no king has ever shown love like this. Because this God showed this kind of love, we know that this God who created did so with a purpose, with a meaning. We know that he is a God of love and life. And you know, without a doubt, that you are an important part of this God's purpose. That your life has meaning. That he wants to bless you with abundant love and abundant life. The problem is that the road to Emmaus is less traveled today than it ever has been. It's not like the roads in which I gathered and my parents gathered and my brother and sister gathered across the street from that movie theater the week after March 25th, 1983. The problem is today the road to Emmaus is a road less traveled. Oh, people are still looking for purpose and meaning. They desire love and abundant life, but they don't seek it in God's word. They're not finding fulfillment in the love of Jesus Christ, but rather in the love of oneself. They seek whatever can make me feel loved right now. Whatever can make me feel good right now. Whatever can fix my problems right now. Whatever can bring me instant pleasure right now. These things are worshipped and glorified. And the problem is today, more than any other time in the history of the world, these things you can get in instant gratification, instant doses with a touch of the button right now. These are the roads most traveled, and these are not the roads to Emmaus. And the problem is, whenever we look for our identity or our self-worth or our self-love or satisfaction from things of the world, even good things in the world, all of these things will eventually lead down various roads, roads that will lead to disaster, depression, destruction, and ultimately death. I mean, consider this. Today we have all the technology in the world. We have more technology in the last year than all of history combined. We have more education, more knowledge about the universe, our bodies, you name it, any subject you want to talk about, now than ever. We have innovation, transportation, communication, games, food, leisure, medical advances, all at our fingertips. We can do almost anything, have any experience we want, or buy anything we want by just hitting a button from our living room. And yet consider this. We are the most dissatisfied and depressed generation of human beings to ever walk the earth. Even more depressed and more sad than the people who lived during the Great Depression. Why is that? We're more sad and depressed than the generation that lost 56,000 Americans on D-Day. Than a generation of Americans that didn't know where they were going to eat the next day during the Great Depression. That didn't have savings accounts. They were all gone. Let's look at our own county. St. Charles County is one of the fastest growing counties in all the United States. When I first got married to Erin and we moved to St. Charles County, I think it was maybe 100,000. And back then, it was one of the fastest growing counties in the United States. Now it's closing in on 400,000 people. It's grown four times that in 15 or 16 years. We have great roads, incredible educational opportunities in this county alone from all levels. The economy is booming. And now we have the worst drug and alcohol problem in the history of the county. We have a human trafficking problem in this county. It's not just something you have to turn the TV on and look and see what's happening in LA or New York or Thailand, but here in St. Charles County. We've come into contact with it in our church. Why is that? We have more than ever before, and we have the biggest problems than ever before. Why? I would suggest because people are willing to travel any road for instant satisfaction, instant glory, instant love, instant success, instant self-worth. And with all these roads promising instant anything, people are having more trouble now than ever finding the road to Emmaus, the road which Jesus walks and talks and teaches and feeds on. But it's not just our county, it's not just our community and culture, it's not just our country. We have this problem in our churches. Churches seek purpose and meaning too. Churches look for love and life too. They seek to be relevant too. But many churches have gotten bored with Jesus, especially his death and resurrection. And they are consumed with chasing after the desire to be relevant only. Now, don't get me wrong, I want to be relevant as a pastor, and I want Chapel of the Cross to be relevant. But relevance can only be found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many churches today preach and teach gimmick, feel-good theology, which teaches you, encourages you to love yourself, chase your dreams, make yourself happy. Just turn on the TV and watch for a while. But this is not the road to Emmaus. Yes, you'll hear Jesus mentioned. Yes, he's on their roads, but he's only on their road like Mickey Mouse is at Disney World or Fred Bird is at the Cardinals game. They're the smile on their face to wave and welcome you to the new road, the new gospel, the new idea of the church. The problem is feel-good, self-help theology is not the road to Emmaus, but a road to destruction. But then there are other churches that seek to simply maintain their roads of tradition. Now, don't get me wrong, tradition can also be a really good thing. But when tradition becomes the gospel, when churches fight over standing, sitting, or kneeling, whether we have pews or hymnals, organ, piano, or guitar, and by the way, these are all good things, and they should be definitely considered in how they proclaim Jesus. And traditions can be very good things, but when they become the end, when they become the mark of the church, well, the truth is that's not the road to Emmaus. When churches care more about sound or style of music than the words that are being sung or the words being confessed, when the church cares more about how people are dressed than helping people who can't dress, the poor, when churches care more about preserving the sanctity of the sanctuary rather than the sanctity of life by welcoming the little ones who might cry and disturb and wiggle, or the handicapped that might yell out at a certain time that's not the right time in our mind, or they might stare or touch, or those in recovery who look like a mess and they just need a safe place to go. Well, then the church is not traveling down the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is walking and talking and teaching and feeding. So what is a church to do? What is a community to do? What's a culture to do? What is a country to do? What are we to do? The good news of today's gospel lesson is that the good road to Emmaus is not about what we are to do. It's about what Jesus has done and fulfilled. It's not about us having to build a new road. It's not about us having to find the correct road. We don't need some magical fairy in ruby red slippers to point us to the correct magical yellow brick road so we can find the magical road to Emmaus. The good news is that the road to Emmaus is today what it was and where it was on the first Easter Sunday. The road to Emmaus is all about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of your body being resurrected to perfect and eternal life. When those disciples, when Cleopas and his buddy got up on that Sunday morning and set out for Emmaus on a 7-mile walk, they were lost. Oh, they knew where Emmaus was, but they were lost in sadness, the Bible tells us. They were depressed. They were lost in purposelessness, meaninglessness. They were lost in their sin. They were doomed for death. They were as lost on the road to Emmaus when they set out as you and I might feel in today's world when we set out for work or school or the doctor's office or even church. But the good news is Jesus found Cleopas and his buddy and all the disciples. He appeared to all of them, and Jesus taught them, and Jesus walked with them. And at the end of the road of Emmaus, Jesus broke bread and fed them and revealed the resurrection of his body and the life everlasting. And their hearts burned with joy. And the good news for you today is that Jesus has found you too. That's why you're here today. Jesus has found you and brought you to this road of Emmaus, which comes right through this parking lot, through these doors, down this aisle. And you know this is the road to Emmaus, not because of the stained glass window. I love the stained glass window, by the way. But that's not how you know it's the road to Emmaus. You know it's the road to Emmaus, not because of the style of music. And by the way, I love the style of music. And the choir and Nancy today are doing a great job. And George directing, and the flutes are beautiful. You know this is the road to Emmaus, not because we have this big thing called a pulpit, and Pastor and James and the acolytes have robes on, although those are beautiful too, and this is wonderful. You know it's the road to Emmaus simply because of the words that are spoken. The same words spoken today as what Jesus spoke then, which Jesus gave us to speak here and now. Words that are all about Jesus, pointing us to Jesus, his work, his love, his purpose, his meaning, his life, all for us. From Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses and Joshua, Samson and Samuel, David, and all the prophets, priests, and kings. Everything written, everything that has happened in history, all preparing us for the work of Jesus, the glory of God's beautiful plan. You are a part of this glorious plan, just as Cleopas and his buddy, just as Adam and Eve and Noah and all the other people I just listed and the people I haven't listed. You are a part of God's purpose and God's meaning. You have his love and his life from him today. You are on the correct road, whether you feel like it or not. Sometimes it doesn't feel like you're on the right road. Sometimes you are on the right road no matter what you feel. When Jesus is on the road showing you his love for you, you're on the right road. And that's where you're here today. Because Jesus promised, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. And two or more are gathered, and we began in his name. Here he is. Jesus said, go forgive in my name. The first words out of his mouth at the resurrection, go forgive the sins of people in my name. And you have heard today the words, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded, after he rose from the dead, go and make disciples by baptizing in my name. You remember your baptism, and we will baptize Abigail at the late service. Jesus said, remain in my words, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. And this has all been about Jesus' words. We are remaining in his words. He is remaining in us. Jesus commanded, take and eat and take and drink for the forgiveness of your sins, and do this often. And we just about are to do this often. We do this often because he commanded us. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we're about to do that. Jesus commanded us to pray for others. We're about to do that. Yes, today you've come to the road of Emmaus. Doesn't look very good or sound very good today. Too much rain, wind, plans canceled, perhaps. It's gloomy outside. Doesn't feel so good. Maybe you're worn down. Maybe you got stress in life. But Jesus is here, and you've come to the right place, the road to Emmaus, because Jesus has brought you here. He's brought you here. He's going to walk with you here. He's teaching you here. He's going to break bread with you here so that one day he can bring you to a perfect and eternal end of the road. Or should I say, beginning of the road. The road that Cleopas and the other disciples and many of your loved ones have begun to walk already. So as you continue to walk on this road of Emmaus today, do so with joy, even on gloomy days like this. Do so with peace. Rejoice of what Jesus is doing on this road for you, a road less traveled. And because it's so less traveled, consider who you're going to invite to join you to walk on this road so that Jesus can change their life too, so that Jesus can talk to them and teach them and walk with them and break bread with them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.